Thank you, David, for reading that out. On reading this passage, amongst all of the verses, a simple message stands clear. This chapter repeatedly calls upon us to be witnesses to God's strength, His ability to create worlds from dust. He is full of wonder and is calling for us to reflect on His power and His love for us and draw comfort from His words. Everything else, all the troubles we face, are tiny compared to what He has done, what He will do for us. His grace and His love is so much greater than any problem we could ever face. And by reflecting on Him, we are able to find not just a safe harbour from our troubles, but ways of overcoming them. Isaiah chapter 40 was a difficult passage to assess, not just because it had so much to talk about, but simply because at the heart of the chapter, the message is so simple, but still so complex. God gives us strength to get through anything. He is above all of our problems, but He knows them, and He cares for us and what we struggle with. I think first I should give a little historical background to this passage. Isaiah wrote this chapter with the thought of exile in his mind. While his people, the Jews, had not been exiled from Babylon yet again, he assumed it was going to happen, and he knew that a time would come when they would come to doubt God or doubt His word. Understandably, when in exile, when you've been pushed out of your homes, out of the country you were born in, you feel that ache in your stomach, the feeling that you are completely alone, that the whole earth has forgotten you. You're reminded of just how small you are and feel so alone. But Isaiah had foreseen this, and so he needed to write a chapter where the Jews would receive comfort and hope, something to nourish them through the long years of exile, servitude, and separation from their ancestors. Her sins have been paid for. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. His people needed this comfort because right now they didn't have anything. They've been forced to leave their homeland. They don't know what will happen to them. Their hard service has been completed. Imagine that you are completely alone, out in the wilderness. You wouldn't feel as though your service had been completed. You wouldn't feel loved or anything that God is saying in this passage. But Isaiah promises that these people have had their debts paid. There is a light at the end of a long journey, and they are certainly not forgotten. Isaiah goes on to say, to prepare a way for the Lord. He's encouraging them not to give up hope, but instead to focus on preparing a way for the Lord, to not sit around and be miserable, but to be in good faith and stay strong. God has a purpose for all of us, and it certainly isn't to give up. Passage 6 has something interesting to say about all of us. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. I initially wasn't sure what to think of this passage. It seemed to be almost disparaging my lack of strength. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows over them. But then I reread it and I grew to understand it. Isaiah isn't saying that I'm weak, that my faith is small. It calls back again to the power of God. He is so huge compared to us that even His breath would cause us to wither. But then it says, His word endures forever. His promises endure when we cannot. When we feel as though our strength is drying up, that what makes us us just isn't there anymore. When we have been reduced to a flower without its petals, God is still there. The word of our God endures forever. That's how He describes God. God makes up for all of our failings. He can handle the frost that destroys us. God's promise to His people isn't suddenly going to die off. God isn't like a flower or grass or anything in nature or on earth. He is more than all the powers of the earth. His promise is undying and He won't let us down. Verse 10 is another passage of comfort. Isaiah calls to the people, says to them, "See, The sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. We tend to get caught up in our own lives. Of course, we're human. We find excuses to ignore God or forget about the sheer power he wields. He rules with a mighty arm. In a time of modern appliances, of being able to do anything and anything you want with a click of a mouse or just by asking around, we seem to forget that it's not us who really run the show. God does, and he does so with power. Some people don't like to think that it isn't really them who is in control. But God knows this. He's not here to punish us, but to comfort us. He knows us all like sheep. He tends to us like a shepherd. He is that person you can always find comfort in. He is so gentle with us, even when he can raise mountains and rules with a mighty arm. A God who can do everything we cannot, who still loves us. Think of that person you've always gone to as a child if you fell over or were hurt. They would always pick you up and give you a big hug, kiss away your tears, make sure you're all right. They probably were your favourite person, just for giving you that time when you know you will be loved and cared for. God's like that. He's like standing next to an open fire, just close enough that you can feel the intense heat on your face, rushing up your skin until you're completely soaked in the warmth. He tends his flock like a shepherd, gathers the lambs in his arms, and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. We have all these analogies from the Bible about sheep and shepherds and lambs, but it makes sense in the context. Isaiah's people were heading out into the world where they would have to struggle for survival. They would have had to bring everything they owned with them, probably on their backs or on pack animals. They didn't have anyone to look after them like a shepherd does with his sheep. But Isaiah promises again that they do. God will be their shepherd on the long journey. He will keep the wolves away with his staff and his sling. That same promise to his people still applies to us today. We ourselves forget that we have this unbridled power in our corner. Someone who is just as willing to pick up the staff and slingshot and fight for us as he is to hold us close to his heart. We get so caught up in fighting our own problems that we forget to call down the one figure who can help us defeat them. I think it's because we think our problems are so small compared to what others have to deal with. But they're still problems, aren't they? They could be as small as paying for the water and gas bills, for finding that $20 to pay for the next meal. But they're not small compared to us. They're not insignificant just because we look at the top 100 influential figures who are trying to cure cancer or end world poverty. Our problems are still problems, and that's where we have the advantage. We can call upon our shepherd to fight back against the wolves. God can give us the strength and love we need to carry us through our problems. He gently leads those that have young. This message, of course, applies to the parents and grandparents listening today. Sometimes it might seem as though you don't know if you're doing the right thing. You might look at someone else and think, why can't I be more like them? Or would it be better if I purge my child of all sugars and raise them on a diet of all natural goods? I can remember pretty well the times I've seen my mom look at us girls with this sheer look of panic in her eyes, like, what on earth am I doing? Am I doing this right? But God, he gently leads those that have young. He has it all in hand. He knows exactly how he is leading every parent and every child. And as hard as it is to sit back and let him be in control, sometimes you just have to trust in him to know what he's doing. His reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. The reward for all of our struggle, for the Jews out in exile, doesn't lie within our own hands, but with God. I'm pretty sure there's been a moment in all of our lives when we've woken up and wondered, where is my big break? Where is that gorgeous Ferrari or Porsche I dreamed of driving? Where are my glamorous holidays touring Greece and France and England? Life might seem like one big trudge to the end, but God promises that his reward is with him. When we are so focused on what is around us, the material worth of our lives, of what we wear and eat and think and speak, we forget that God is bringing this reward with him. Sometimes you just have to remember that what we have now won't measure up to what God has to offer. The reward for all of your hard work, for all of your struggle, is with Him. He knows what He's doing, and He knows when you will receive your reward. So passages 12 to 17 solidifies the sheer glory and power of God. It also reflects the message of this entire chapter. We ought to focus more on the power of God to see what is happening around us and trust that His word and His power will deliver us through all troubles. We are in general a species that has made everything from the wheel to the iPhone sitting in your bag. We've completely changed the face of this earth through our desire to shape the land around us into our home. We've tamed animals to be our companions through life, and yet we forget that we aren't God. Taking it back to the exiled Jews, Isaiah knew that his people would be afraid and doubtful of what was ahead of them. Some surely would begin to question the God which had let them be sent out into the unknown. They would fear that their fates were to be forgotten, and their God uncaring of what challenges they struggled through. What Isaiah says completely abates their fears. He calls upon them to remember exactly who is the guardian of their lives, their fates. Who has measured the waters in the hollows of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Imagine a person so strong that he can hold the oceans in his hands. Look at your own hands. We can at best manage to hold water in the cup of our hands for a few seconds before it begins to rush out. In comparison, God has measured oceans in the hollow of his hands. Imagine someone who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, a figure who has weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance. We think that we are the ones to control our lives, but Isaiah reminds us, well, actually, no, it's not just you. You've forgotten someone. This someone is our God. He has the power to look down on a nation and see it as worthless, but then look at us, a tiny person, and find all of his best qualities reflected in our eyes. He is a God above all gods, someone whose power is as incomprehensible to us as the secrets of life. We may think we know something about shaping the earth, but in the end, it isn't us who has done all of these wonders. God tells us again and again to rely on Him, to trust in His strength. We only have to look at the sky to see proof of His power, right? Isaiah says, "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name." That person is our God. But more often than not, we don't do this. We don't have the time to look up at the stars and remember who created them when we are so caught up in our own lives. How many times have you turned on the TV or looked at the news on your phone and watched as fear and hate seem to form right in front of your eyes? You don't look up at the sky and see the tiny pinpricks of light, the callback to a God who has created the earth. You sit and you wonder, how on earth can we recover from this? Had we not given to fear and hopelessness? Isaiah says this, "Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." God is our hope and he is our strength. If you have big problems, you need a big God to fix them. And God is a big God. He can name each and every star by name. He has no possible equal. If he can make sure that not one of them is missing, he can surely step in and help a world he loved so much he sacrificed his only son to. So look to God for comfort and strength. Don't be afraid to seek him out. As surely as he can name each and every star, he can help us in our problems. "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. Isaiah comforts here again. He knows that the Jews will feel abandoned, that their hearts may be hardened in resentment of their sufferings. But God has sent Isaiah to speak with them, and his understanding no one can fathom. We've all had those times when we felt completely alone. We complain that our problems are ignored by God. But Isaiah doesn't want us to give up on hope, to think that our problems are ignored by God. He wanted to give his people hope and comfort when they were out there wandering the earth. They would want to be comforted by the knowledge that God saw and knew all of their problems. He understands their worries and their fears. This relates to us. God doesn't want us to feel as though we can't talk to him, that our cause is disregarded. He wants us to be comforted, to be drawn to him, to share our problems with him. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. If God can create the earth, he can know our problems. He doesn't want us to ignore him. He will not grow tired or weary. It's like if you take a problem to a favorite person, someone you trust and love, like your mum or your best friend. They will listen and say all they can to help you, but if the problem is too big, you end up leaving not quite satisfied. That person you choose to talk to, they will help as best as they can, but they get tired too. They have their own problems to deal with, and sometimes they just don't get it. You feel as though you have this itch you can't quite scratch, a weight that won't be lifted. But God isn't like your mom or your best friend or any other person who may be bogged down by life. He will not grow tired or weary, and his ability to look at a situation and understand is unlike any other person. It's unfathomable. So don't be afraid to turn to him first with your problems or what you may think as the tiniest issue. He has the ability to hear, to understand, and more than that, he wants to understand it. His is a shoulder that will always be there for you, someone whose strength is unending. You can do this by just taking a minute or two to reflect on this, or calling down his name to help you through a tough time. It doesn't have to be something big like half an hour of prayer, but just a minute, just to remember who is your God. So how do you find strength when you have none? When you've worked a 12-hour day and have 3 kids waiting at home and only $50 to last a week? This passage answers it all. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God is a person who has created mountains, who measured continents in his hands. His strength is unending. It doesn't stumble or dry up or finish. His strength is unending, while ours is exhaustible. We're like the little child who tries so hard to keep up with our parents on unsteady legs. Eventually, inevitably, we fall behind. But then our mum or dad comes in and swoops us up into their arms or carries us on top of their shoulders. Their strength seems to be endless. God is always there for you, and even if you get tired, he'll be right there beside you to help you through any problem, even something as terrifying as exile. You can soar on wings like eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not be faint. The message of this chapter revolves again and again around the power of God. This constant theme of God creating the earth, his power, his majesty, calls for us to see him for who he truly is. But it also notes his ability to change our lives, to move with us, to create change, comes from his power and his word. In a world where everything is centered around speed and problems seem larger than life, almost impossible to tackle, God calls on us to lean on him, to use his strength to come out of our struggles as the victor. I want to set a challenge for you all. Understandably, you're all busy individuals, but I want you to find the time in this week, be it like 5 or 10 minutes, just to sit back in your lunch break or while at home or school, and just send up a quick prayer to God. Tell him how thankful you are to have him in your life. Remind yourself of what is around you. Look around at all the beauty he has created just for us. Trust that he has the strength to get you through any problem, and that he will do so gladly if you let him.